May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, with this gospel, we are, in my understanding, right at the core of the spirituality of Jesus, the core that really has still, I think, the power to startle us most deeply. And that's, I'm gonna work my way around to these gospel teachings. And in a sense, I feel like I talk about this love of enemies pretty much every week. Rarely does a Sunday go by without it coming in somehow, and that's just because it's so fundamental to the way Jesus saw the world. But what I want to start is actually with Leviticus. And I remember you. What I want to say about Leviticus is really more a general comment about the Old Testament in general. As you listen, the Old Testament and the God of the Old Testament is widely disparaged. It was one of the things early on in the Christian era, in the first century, when some writers simply wanted to do away with the Old Testament entirely. And we all know that there are some reasons for that, namely that there is so much violence in the Old Testament. So much violence. And what I would like to say today is read this passage from Leviticus and understand that the violence in the Old Testament reflects not the nature of God, but our human response to God. And I'll often say, is that a ditch I want to die in? This is one of them. That the reflections of violence in the Old Testament are very much a reflection of who we are as human beings. And I would say, when we, and I say we as if I'm an Israelite, but when I say we took the lands of Canaan, we were acting on our own initiative, even though the story is told. God wanted us to take the land of the Canaanites and occupy it for our own. Or God wanted us to go into Jericho and kill every man, woman, child, beast, dog, bird, just so that nothing lived. And I will make that decision, that discernment, and say, that is not really in the true nature of God, especially the nature of God as revealed by Jesus. And so, when I want us to go out of here, when you ever hear a remark disparaging the God of the Old Testament, I want you to say, yes, but the Israelites have given us one of the profound gifts of human culture, which is to say, they opened our eyes and opened our hearts to the problem of social justice. And this really goes back to the foundational story in Israel, in the book of Exodus, when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. And it was, I think, widely assumed, if not automatically assumed, that the God of the universe, whoever that might be, human beings have talked a lot about that, whoever the God of the universe might be, was in cahoots with power. So that if Pharaoh had a lot of power, that kind of meant Pharaoh was close to God. And you could even tell what God was thinking if they listened to Pharaoh, because that's how close they were. And the Israelites had the genius, the brilliant insight into the nature of God. And they said, ah, how amazing. God is not on the side of Pharaoh. God is not the power that endorses earthly power. In fact, God hears the cry of the oppressed. God hears the cry of the oppressed. which is, it just turns the ancient worldview upside down. I mean, we have been talking about it in the Christian sense for thousands of years now, so it doesn't sound so startling to us. Go back 4,000 years or 5,000 years and imagine saying, well, God is not identified with the pomp and splendor of earthly power, but here's the slave and the dispossessed and the alien and the stranger, which is to say, God is a God of justice. And if you want to understand the God of Jesus, you have to understand that the God of the Old Testament is a God of love and of justice. And it is always saying to the people of Israel, don't bother me with your religion. Don't bother me with your religion until you begin to change your life, until you listen closely enough to what your religion is saying, that you begin to act differently. Because that's all our religion is really trying to do. So the Jewish understanding of God, they betrayed it all the time. And the Old Testament is a running commentary on those betrayals. So that it tells the story of the call, and it tells the story of the betrayals, and it tells the story of the return. But the violence, the tribal violence of the Old Testament, let's keep that in the human camp and understand that it's really, as John says, in God there is no darkness at all, there is no violence at all. That's our human doing. And the God of the Old Testament, that voice that comes through like a scratchy record or a bad connection at a radio station, the God who comes through there is the God of love and justice. So now, let's jump to this core teaching of you've heard it said, but I say to you. You know, you've heard it said, eye for eye, tooth for a tooth. Remember, that was actually a moral advance in its day, because the alternative to an eye for an eye was, okay, you take my eye and I kill you. I take the village. So it's kind of the ancient development of proportional response. So that there's some kind of correlation between what I'm going to do to you as you've done to me. But we are in the heart, I think, of what Jesus taught as a spiritual teacher. And one of the most important things to understand about this injunction to love your enemies is that it is not another category of sort of duties that we have, which, upon failing, give us another reason to think badly of ourselves. I can't love my enemies. That's not the way teachings work for us. The teachings are not put before us so as to give us another opportunity to fail, but rather they're put in front of us saying, don't you understand that there's a different way to live in the world? That it's not divided into us against them, and you don't have to devote so much energy to harboring ill will against anyone. And do we not know how miserable it is when we harbor ill will in our hearts? That anger, that fear, that disappointment, whatever it might be, but we dwell on it, and it makes us miserable. And so the love of enemies, it's not do this or I'll punish you, which is, we're so inclined to hear things that way. It's not do this or I'll punish you, but this is a different way of living in the world, and it will set your heart free. It will liberate your heart, and you will be amazed at how much less anxiety you experience, how much less afraid you are. It is your liberation. Not a moral burden put upon us. And talk about a new criterion for failure. How about, so you must be perfect as God is perfect. Feel okay about that? I think that's what all of us want to hear. You know, and that's not me. I think we'll all be sort of relieved to hear this. Perfect in the Greek does not mean you must never make a mistake, you must never have an error. That's not what perfect means. What perfect means is really is revealed to us in the metaphors that Jesus uses right before. And what does he say? He says, if you want to understand what God is like, look at the way the sun shines. The sun rises and it shines indiscriminately on the good and the evil. That's what God is like. Like the sunshine that makes no distinction upon, it shines on everyone. Or look at the rain. Does the rain distinguish between the just and the unjust? Or does it fall on everyone? And rain is a good thing for them, because they were in the desert and they liked rain. Rain, it falls on everyone, not just the good. And he says, that's what God is like. And if you're interested in sort of following me, you are going to be like that. And that's what Jesus called perfect. In the Greek, it means complete. It means whole. It means finished. It means that which has been moving toward a destination has reached its destination. It's complete. And in moral terms, in spiritual terms, in the terms of the way our hearts and minds apprehend the world around us, it means don't leave anything out. It means God does not take sides in the way we as human beings take sides. We take sides all the time. We even take sides within ourselves, against ourselves, fighting in conflict. God does not take sides. Doesn't take sides any more than that image of the rain falling on all or the sunshine falling on us all. It's like saying, if you want to understand God, you have to understand this metaphor. You have to understand that it is the nature of God not to be against anyone, but to be for everyone. And that is the challenge and the puzzle or the riddle that is addressed to our hearts and our minds. How do we see the world not in terms of enemies and friends, but in terms of God's creation, where God loves every part of the creation? Certainly we as human beings are often resistant to God's love. We close our hearts, we say, I'd rather be afraid. We'd say, I'd rather X, Y, Z. But what Jesus is saying is, your life will change when you see that everyone and everything is included within the realm of God's love. It also means whenever we hear ourselves speaking of anyone else as an enemy, as hated by God, as worthy of destruction, we know that we are simply playing out our toxic human fantasies. And it has nothing to do with God. So God, in the understanding of Jesus is saying, it is so important that everything is included. If one thing is left out, the whole vision falls apart. If just one little person in your heart saying, yeah, that person, I'm not going to extend any of God's blessing to that person, then the whole vision simply falls apart. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing, you know. The 99 sheep, well, I've got 99 sheep, what's wrong with it? No, you go get the last sheep to complete the picture. Yeah, it's just a way of seeing. We are so inclined to want to leave some things out. So Jesus directs our attention precisely to the places where we're going to leave them out. Our enemies, or my cancer, or my siblings, or whoever it might be. with whom we are in conflict. And the minute we say God does not love them, we're lost. We simply are left with the challenge. How is it possible for God to love all beings? And how can I open my heart to that very same reality so that I, in that love that is from God and of God and God, how can I allow my life to be set free in that vision where I'm not against anyone? I'm simply trying to join and listen and perceive the activity of God that I might do what God is doing, which is bringing all creation to its eventual fulfillment, loving all things to their completeness. Our hearts find their freedom when we see the world as God sees the world. And that's the invitation that Jesus puts before us. Do you want to be miserable and divided and full of conflict and fear and anger? Or do you want to love like God loves and be filled with peace?